Peter Beaumont is on the line once again from CERT. Peter, Reuters is reporting that more tanks have moved in today. What are you seeing?
Yeah, no, that's exactly what's happening. I've just been down to the coast, on the coastal road where the attempted assault went in late yesterday afternoon and got pushed back by the same problems, snipers and RPGs in high buildings. These fighters have pulled back, and one of the commanders down there is telling me that plans for today is to bring in more tanks. We've been seeing tank carriers going backwards and forwards on the road behind the town. There are two tanks now being brought up to the southern side of the pocket, and I've been told that they're planning to bring in six tanks and spend the day trying to shell these pro-Gaddafi positions inside the pocket. And they're also discussing whether to bring the howitzers they have, which are quite a long way back from the town, and place them in the city where they can fire more easily at the pocket. The reason the guys on the east have pulled back is because of the persistent problems that there have been with friendly fire. The fighters on the east are the guys mainly from Benghazi, Baida and Derna, while the people on the pocket south are from Misrata. And so the idea now is that as the tanks and rockets are firing, if any of them miss their target, what they'll be firing into will be the sea rather than to their own forces.
This seems like a sort of much more sort of heavy-handed tactic. There's no chance anymore of trying to capture...
they're still capturing people. They're still capturing people. But no, I mean, you know, there has been a long opportunity, you know, for people to surrender. There seems to be no desire on the side of those people still inside the city to surrender in any way or any form. Their view is that they don't want to take any more pointless casualties in the last few days of the battle, and to kind of minimise casualties on the government side, and they're going to do that by shelling. It's also very, very difficult terrain for the government forces. I mean, the pro-Gaddafi fighters, it's a built area with high buildings from which they're able to fire down on anyone advancing. I mean, I've talked about it before, but on the south, where they've been trying to fight through this destroyed street that's full of water, thigh deep, it's narrow. The machine gun is firing straight down to the government forces, who, if they're on foot, are moving very, very slowly through the water. The gun trucks are moving slowly through the water as well, because it's coming up to, you know, pretty much up to the seats of the car. And it's like they're going through a flooded canyon at the moment to go up a hill, from which point you can see the sea. In reality, it's no distance at all. We're talking about maybe 600 metres at most. But they're getting bunched into this narrow road in the water, and every time they try to get up there, they're sort of taking casualties and fatalities.
We think we've pinned down this pocket. It's between the TV station and District 2. Where is that flooded street in relation to that pocket?
Well, on the eastern side of District 2, there is a fairly large area of flooding. I would guess that in places, you have a rise that goes up and crests before dropping down slightly to where the sea is. And at the bottom of that rise, the land rises up again on the southern side. So you've got this kind of flat area that's in a kind of continuous valley going along from the eastern end of District 2 for, I don't know, I would guess between 700 metres and a kilometre. And there was water coming out of quite a lot of the houses in that area when we were in it. So it looks as though, it seemed as though it was coming out of too many houses just to be one shell burst. So it looks as though someone's gone round with hammers and broken the pipe. And so there's this flat area in this, it's not like a deep valley, but it's just a depression. And all the way through that's flooded. And as you're moving through it, and I've been into it a couple of times, you don't actually know how deep the water's going to be. Sometimes it comes up your ankle. Sometimes you'll be moving through it and it'll be over your knees. And you know what it's like trying to run in water on the beach? It's heavy going, and when people are firing RPGs and, you know, and rifles at you, you're not moving as quickly as you want to be.
You mentioned casualties earlier. Any figures?
With the Katiba, the unit that I've just been to visit, just off the coast road, who've pulled back to just about level with Green Square, they took 3 fatalities yesterday when they tried to advance. I mean, it doesn't sound like a lot, but as I said again, you know, they simply don't want to take a lot more fatalities fighting their way into this area when they can try to suppress the resistance in another way, the way they're doing now, and with that, with sort of artillery, rocket and tank fire.
You were quoting fighters today talking about only 100 Gaddafi loyalists left. That seems hard to believe, given how long this is taking.
And not at all. I mean, the fighters who are inside there are, you know, well-trained soldiers. I mean, when I met some of the Gaddafi, you know, the better Gaddafi troops in March earlier this year in Tripoli and around the siege of Zawiya, the good troops, the officers have been to staff college in Moscow. You know, the best troops are well-trained, they were well-equipped, you know, they were well-disciplined, they knew what they were doing. This is as distinct from the larger part of the army. These guys are extremely good at firing, they can maneuver under fire, they seem to have chosen good positions. If indeed the flooding has been a tactic, it's been an incredibly effective tactic. And the numbers that I hear are from the low end of 100, perhaps 200, the absolute maximum of 300. I mean, colleagues who I've spoken to today are telling me that people that they've spoken to said that those who are left inside still fighting to the death, as it were, there is a sort of sense that it's kind of, you know, they're fighting for survival, and it's every man for himself, and they simply are fighting for every single position. And the fighters who are opposing them, I mean, on the Misratan side, I mean, you know, there are very few professional soldiers. These are all volunteers. There is no one to stop them leaving the battlefield. No one to stop them pulling back under fire. There is no compulsion, in fact, to stop them from going to Misrata for a couple of days. On the eastern side, the Benghazi side, we've come across more professional soldiers, and it feels a little bit more military and a little bit more like you might expect from an army. But at the same time, even though you come across, you know, reasonably professional officers who know what they're doing, a lot of the fighters are volunteers again.
Are there any more estimates as to how long this is going to take?
The latest time frame that I've heard, and again, you know, you take this with a pinch of salt, because, you know, every day for the last couple of days we've been told it's going to be what they call an artillery day, you know, and on some artillery days, you know, they go in and take huge amounts of ground. I mean, they have meetings during the day, and things change, but at the moment the plan that we've been told is that they're going to shell for a couple of days and then go for another large assault. But, you know, that could just be compressed down to shelling for half a day, and some people get frustrated and try and push in and find out there's less resistance than they're expecting. Or they could stick to the plan. And, you know, the plan on the eastern side may not be the same plan on amongst the forces from Misrata.
Is anyone still saying Mudassin is arrested?
I haven't heard that recently, no. No, I mean, you know, who knows where that came from? Well, we do know where it from. It came from a wire report that was very well sourced. They'd spoken to 3 officials in the NTC. I mean, as far as we know, no is the answer at the moment. But then again, before we had heard that Saif al-Islam had been arrested, I suppose a couple of months ago, and that turned out to be untrue as well.
Any theories as to why those officials are putting that out?
We have a theory. The theory is that someone close to Mawatasim and members of his part of the family may have been arrested, and that may have caused the confusion amongst some of the NTC people, who conflated it into Mawatasim's being captured. We believe they have captured some people who held regime posts, so not people you would know about, but people who were in his circle, so perhaps that's where it came from.
Okay, Peter. Good to talk to you on a very clear line for once. Thanks a lot.
Bye-bye.